much for being here today. Welcome to Life Journeys with Serena. Let me just make sure we are all set here and you guys can hear me. Happy Monday, everyone. It's almost the end of July. I can't believe it. And I'm really excited for today's show. We're going to do something a little differently. For those of you who are listening live, welcome. I will be giving readings towards the end of the show. And I am excited to be able to connect with you all. So if any of you have any questions or would like me to pull a card or just connect with your energy, go ahead and leave a comment in the chat and I'll make sure to connect with you in the second half of today's show. But I'm starting a new series today where I'm going to be doing a big deep dive into the major arcana. So today, of course, we're going to start with the Fool. And I've used Tarot for years. I love being able to blend my my intuitive readings with the history and the wonderful energy of Tarot, and then also with my oracle cards that you see me working with a lot. And I've been wanting to do a deep dive where I look more into the history behind each card and get to have a conversation with you all about your own understandings and relationships with each card. And I think the story of the Fool's journey, right, which is what Tarot dives into, it's what it represents, is something that we all experience throughout so many different cycles and phases of our lives, and it's something that we experience on repeat in a way as we go through the journey that is life, go through the Fool's journey. And it's something that I end up thinking about a lot. I end up thinking about so much. So I wonder if it's something you all think about too, and whether you have no experience with Tarot at all, or you have been working with a deck or several decks for your whole life or for a long time, or you're just starting to get into it. I hope this will be an interesting conversation, and I'm going to be taking it every week, one card at a time. So today we are starting with our conversation around the Fool. And so let me show you this here. If you guys take a look, I've pulled up a couple different representations of the Fool, and something that you see, you'll have the Rider Waite right in the center, which is our most common tarot deck. You start with Rider Waite. It's where you start. But the representation of the Fool actually goes back to ancient Egypt with the pharaohs and the court jesters. And there's a trope here that is so ancient. There's a theme and a story and an archetype, in a sense, that is really has so much history within cultures across the world. And the Fool is often associated with, like, a court jester. In the traditional playing cards, it's the Joker. And it is a fascinating, the way that it's evolved is really fascinating, because we basically have gone from something that is we think about a court jester as like the base humor, right? You think about a court jester as being someone who is making fun of humanity in a really kind of crass way. You think of it being kind of childish in that sense. A court jester's job is to make drunk people laugh, right? And so you think about the way that this has evolved, because the funny thing is, we also recognize that the court jester has a really important job in order to bring light and levity to sometimes very serious conversations, situations throughout politics, throughout history. And we don't really have a role of a court jester. Maybe some could argue that in modern times, it's some of the news, who knows, or maybe so much of it is also social media. But when you think about that relationship with humor and making light of things, and sorry, my dog is wanting to be here with you all today, say hi. When you think of that dynamic that is really, you're not focusing on the serious things, those heavy big things are further away, it's not the important part of your job, we can kind of step away from this origin of the court jester when we're talking about the fool, because that may be the origin, but it did evolve in such incredible ways throughout history over thousands of years. And when we see the early 16th century, we start to see tarot decks form, or at least that's what the earliest record we have of it. And it's so interesting. Well, some say 14th century, some say 16th. But my belief is it goes further back. It's just this is the record that we have. The classical picture of the fool is someone who just provides amusement through kind of inappropriate appearances or behavior. And that's where we see that tie to the court jester, right? And it's a tradition that has evolved, you know, out of theater, out of high society, into kind of everyday life. And we see a lot of, you know, you can also connect it to clowning. It's something that is so young and playful, and also it appeals to the younger parts within ourselves, right? And so what we see when we, like, if you take a look at the fool here, and the Rider Waite is right in the center, let's take a look at the visuals of what it represents. Because if you know anything about tarot, if you know anything about the fool, you know that it's the first card. It symbolizes the beginning of the fool's journey. The whole story of the major arcana is the fool's journey. And it is a card of innocence. It's a card of, can be a naivete, but it's also bold. It's also, you know, sometimes false confidence, sometimes incredible. There's balance here, but it's the beginning of a really intense journey that's going to bring enlightenment. And so let's pick apart the visuals that we see in the center image there, because that is, the Rider Waite deck is really the, it's seen as the most accepted, where you can really pick apart the visuals and understand so much of what this card represents. So we look at the white sun in the top corner. And the white sun represents purest enlightenment. It is what the fool is striving for. It is the goal that the goal of this journey is to reach that enlightenment, to understand something. And it's basically that motivation that the fool is striving for. And when we see the element of fire, because the fool is a card of fire as well, we think of the flame of creation. We think of a point of origin. So it really is very cyclical in this sense, that connection to the sun being an origin, but also being the goal that you're striving for. And so when we look, and it's very significant, and you'll notice throughout the tarot, when you look at cards that have a sun in them, sometimes it's sun on clothing, sometimes it's a sun in the deck as well, in the back, in the card as well, in the background, it is a pointed, it's very significant that it's looking at enlightenment, understanding something, striving for improvement, striving for further enlightenment. And so let's then look at the mountains in the background, right? The mountains represent the challenges of this journey. And and you also see the white tips of the mountains before it becomes blue underneath. If you look at the base of the mountains, they are white tipped, which means that with each challenge, with each peak, you will receive enlightenment. It's worth the struggle. It is worth the fight. Because white always represents enlightenment, the same way that the sun in this card is white, right? So in order for you to complete the fool's journey, you have to traverse these very dangerous mountains that you can see. Then the next step, let's take a look at the tunic, the dress that the fool is wearing here. You have wheels represented on this, on the clothing, right? You can see little tiny wheels on this, on his clothing. And just as the card of the wheel represents cycles in our life, so does the wheel when it shows up here on the clothing of the fool. And it represents the spiritual journey and the fact that this is not necessarily a straight path. Right? This is going to weave and wind. This is going to kind of, maybe sometimes you're feeling like you're going backwards and not able to see that you're really still fighting for that push through. You're still actually going forward in the right direction, even if you feel like you're spinning backwards. Like, there is that cyclical aspect of this here. And so, and then it also kind of symbolizes that even once you do reach the end of your journey, you're going to end up right back here as the fool again. You're going to begin something else once you finish this journey, once you reach that enlightenment. And then I want to look at the white dog. I love whenever you see the dog show up in several cards throughout the tarot, but the dog can represent your inner conscious, your intuition, your inner consciousness. And it sometimes is also tied to faith or spirituality. It can be also seen as a sacrifice. But here within the fool, it is such a wonderful representation of the fool's consciousness and the fool's inner intuition, that inner voice that he may not be paying attention to right now because he's at the beginning stage of his journey. He may not be very tuned in to his his inner voice, to that intuition, to his gut, right? And so you see visually, this fool looks like he's about to step off the edge of a cliff. And it looks like the dog is saying, wait, hold on, look ahead of you. Look at the step in front of you. And so take a look at the balance that we see here, because there's that innocence, that naivete, that bold confidence of potentially striving, you know, off of this cliff and into the abyss below. But you have that potential balance of being able to catch it and transition into the next stage of this journey by listening to your inner voice, by paying attention to which is that dog that's looks like it's trying to get the attention of the fool, right? And so also notice that the dog is also white, which represents that enlightenment, right? The next thing I want to take a look at is the satchel and the staff, right? So if this is a fool beginning a long journey, you would think that they'd have a big backpack full of a bunch of stuff and, you know, everything that they would need in order to succeed on this journey. That is the smallest satchel ever. There's very little preparation going into this. There's very little thought going into this. And it is something that also can represent that innocence and that bold confidence of, I have everything that I need, I can do this, I'm excited, let's go. Very little preparation, and you may not have the tools that you need in order to climb this mountain, in order to achieve what you're striving for. And it is something that the main symbol here is that you're picking up the tools that you need along the way. And so you are not supposed to start off this journey with everything that you need in order to succeed. It's okay to start off and feel a little lost and to feel like you don't really know how you're going to move on to that next step. And so the last thing I wanted to talk about is the white rose that he's holding in his other hand, right? Again, white is purity, it's enlightenment. And it represents both the beauty and the pain that we go through in life. It's known as a Tudor rose. Sorry, my cat is trying to play with me. Now's not the time, honey. It represents the Tudor rose, which is really tied to, you see it also in the death card. When we get to the death card, you'll see that. And you see the balance within a rose is represented because it has the beauty of the petals, but also the danger of the thorns. And it's a kind of a nice little foreshadowing in a sense when you do get to the death aspect of the Fool's journey, as you again, it's represented. You see it again in the Death card when you get to that point, and it is. It's just a wonderful reminder of how cyclical this all is. You have, and in a sense, like, it's almost like you're prepared for handling that death moment when it happens. And it just, again, death is simply a transition, right? Death is not necessarily a death or an end of something. It often can be a very significant end. But with every end, there's a new beginning. Think of how cyclical all of this is and the wheel that we're experiencing and the fact that we are on the Fool's journey all the time, over and over again. And it's some incredible symbolism that we see here. And if so, that's how I want to pick apart the Rider-Waite version of the card, which is seen as so just across the board accepted at most places. If we look at the other, the two cards on either side are older versions of the Fool. And you see some very consistent, I think the most consistent that we can see in this is the club or the staff that they are carrying, and the satchel is in the one on the left. You can see that there is that, you know, beginning a journey feeling. You can see that they may not be very prepared at the same time. On the right hand, there is, you don't really see a satchel, but their clothing is definitely not, they're not prepared for any kind of a journey. They do not seem prepared. They do seem lost. And I love that as we've evolved with the card, the Fool, we've been able to embrace that sense of joy that we can have within naivete, within that innocence. And it's something that has had a more complicated history with sometimes being darker and feeling lost and not having that hope. But I love being able to read the Fool within that sense of optimism and with that sense of the beauty in that innocence. And so let's talk about if you get the Fool, right, how would you read that card? Now, if you're just doing a single throw, just a single card pull, what information do I need to know today, right? It's a great way to bond with your tarot deck. It's a great way to slowly start to learn more about each card. And so say you're just doing a daily check-in and you throw the Fool, then that immediately, I would see it as a sigh of relief of, okay, wow, I may have some challenges ahead, but this is an invitation to recognize I don't need all the answers right now. And I can move forward within finding those bits that I'm really optimistic about, or finding the joy that sits in this innocence. There's something so simple about the energy of the Fool. There's something so relieving in a sense, because not needing to have all the answers is freeing. And it's truly empowering to realize that you're beginning a journey of enlightenment, of learning, and of growing as a person. And it's exciting, and it may be intimidating. You're potentially going to jump off a cliff, right? This is a big change that's coming up for you. The beginning of something that is going to bring wonderful change into your life is another way to read the Fool, is there's transitions coming up for you. I also always see it as an invitation to kind of quiet yourself and listen to your inner voice, listen to your intuition. But that white dog is trying to get your attention, right? If the only thing that you take away when you throw that Fool card is to not try to have all the answers and to quiet your mind and listen to your intuition, listen to that yapping dog, then that is a really powerful way to understand what the Fool represents. Now, if you were to throw the Fool reversed, then you may be resisting a new beginning. It may be bringing to your attention that there's something that you really aren't listening to that yapping white dog, right? You're really not listening to your intuition. It may be an invitation to connect with your faith in your spirituality. It can be seen as you are actually stopping, actively stopping this new beginning from taking off. There may be things that you are actively doing right now that are not allowing you to begin this journey, the fool's journey that is life, right? And it's something that is really, it can be really freeing also if you get the fool reversed, because it may be a bit of a stark reality in a sense, but it's also a really great eye-opening experience to say, wow, I am resisting this. Okay, let me see what I can do to let go, to connect with my intuition a bit more, to slow down, and again, accept that you don't need to have all the answers right now. The one other thing I want to, before we move on, is I've used my Rider White deck for years, and I've been starting to expand my collection of tarot decks, and it's been so fun to explore what other decks there are, and this is one I wanted to show you. I'll leave the link to this deck in the description. But you can see very similar themes here, right? You still have the cliff, you have the white dog, the clothing is different. You have the sun a little bit behind the clouds, and then the mountains are in the back as well. What I love is that Satchel is still small, he still looks really unprepared. But what is so beautiful about this deck, this card of, in this representation of the Fool, is that you really have that beautiful sense of innocence. And there's joy here. So there's so much joy in this card. And look, it's not just striding off the cliff. It's potentially dancing and leaping off the cliff. I love the way that this artist has been able to interpret so much more of that joyful naivete into this card. And it's something that I really enjoy. And then this is my Oracle deck that you all see me using a lot. And something that we see, a lot of Oracle decks are inspired by Tarot, and you can find a lot of similar themes. Sometimes they have exact cards like Death as Tarot, and or like the Empress and the Emperor, or the High Priestess, right? There's so many similarities between a lot of our Oracle decks that we have. Some don't have any connection at all, but some are really inspired. And this one Oracle deck, the Wisdom of Avalon, that I have been using for 20 years that I love, is connected to it. And the Goblin is often seen as the... it's often seen as very connected to the Fool. It touches on a little less of that. It is definitely the beginning of a journey. It's the beginning of understanding your intuition more and connecting with your ego in that sense and having an honest conversation with yourself. But it's also really, it's about being able to bring in the lightness into something that can feel kind of dark and heavy sometimes. And you really occasionally just need to be able to bring that light joy and that naivete and that innocence and accept that, you know, it's okay not to have all the answers right now into what can be a pretty heavy situation sometimes. And it's also, it's a hard conversation to have when you're talking about your wounded ego, right? There's a lot of honesty that's needed in that conversation. And something that's also really powerful about the Fool is the Fool doesn't have fear of that honesty, right? The Fool is just transparent. It's just talking, and, you know, there it doesn't have that worry of the weight. And it's something that is truly freeing also to be able to just speak that freely. And whether it's with other people or with yourself. So that is what I wanted to connect with you all today on. And I'm going to now jump in and talk to you all about, let's see who we have here. I don't know if you can Oh, we'll go back this way. Okay. So it looks like we have Renee here. Hi, Renee. Thanks for being here, hon. And Shell is here. Oh, good. I'm glad that you're excited about the Major Arcana jump. I'm so far committing to the Major Arcana. I'll do, you know, we'll work all our way through the 28 cards at one every week. And then we'll see how we're doing if I want to do the rest of the 78 and go through the rest of the cards. I don't know if I'm ready to commit to a year and a half weekly deep dive, but maybe we'll be ready to do it and we'll just keep going. I really enjoyed talking about the Fool here, and I'm excited to continue. And so if any of you also have favorite tarot decks, go ahead and leave that comment. I'm excited to expand my collection, and I know everyone has their favorites. I've expanded my Oracle deck a lot, my Oracle deck collection a lot over the years, and it's been really fun. And now I'm ready to expand my tarot deck as well. Why not have just more and more ways to connect with spirit and with energy around you. All right, who else is here? Quelly is here. Thank you so much for being here, my dear. Blessings, dear Serena. Hi, Quelly. I know you don't live here in the Bay anymore, but you're always going to be my Bay Area sister. We've got my cat on my lap here. If anyone would like a reading, go ahead and leave a comment, and I will make sure to connect with you. And I do want to do just a general reading for everyone. Just to give you all a bit of grounding and potentially, I mean, I know this retrograde has been, I feel like everyone is kind of stuck in reflecting and stuck in, there's maybe a bit of overwhelm in that reflection. And I hope that you're able to kind of give yourself grace through this intense period of reflection, because it is going to end August 10th. We, you know, we'll have retrograde, we'll stop, the Mercury will stop moving backwards, and we'll be able to breathe a bit more of a sigh of relief. I don't always feel this burdened, I guess, by the retrograde, but this one has felt pretty heavy. I feel like we've been really just stuck on looking at the past and figuring out how we can bring parts of the past that brought us a lot of joy into our future, which is a wonderful opportunity to see what change is needed, but it can also feel really urgent. And it's important to remember that not everything needs to change at once. It's okay to take your time. It's okay to pace yourself and to realize that there's a lot of talent that is needed in order to be patient. There's a lot of skill. It's an important skill to learn and to have, but to be able to give yourself that grace and that time just to breathe and say, it's okay. I don't need to bring all this change into my life right now. That may cause more stress than necessary. So, anyway, that's my little spiel on the retrograde. Let me see. What do you all need to hear? And this is a message whether you're listening live or you're watching at a later date. This message is for you. All right, so we have the Wind Fairy. It feels like you're very stuck in you're trying to like muscle through these problems and think through these problems. We have Love. It feels like it could be connected to your love life. For some of you, it feels more connected to work. It feels more connected to finances. It's what's been coming through for, yeah. There's a shift. So the Frog points us towards a needed shift, a needed reset in a way. It can often symbolize that you need to release some of that heavy emotional baggage. And it's something that is, it seems like you have been so stuck in your head that you're not as connected to your feelings, and that balance is something that we need in order to be able to thrive, right? But when you're stuck in that survival mode, especially if it feels like finances are kind of up in the air right now, maybe scheduling also feels like it's been really complicated, and I'm intuitively connecting with this message for you all. And yeah, and we have the dog, which is just, it feels like you're craving that consistency. And so the invitation here is to maybe even think back on the fool's journey. If you're trying to muscle your way through, whatever problems or conflicts that you have right now, you're going to be frustrated and not make any of that progress. Allow yourself to accept that you don't need all the answers right now. Let go of a lot of that stress that sits in trying to piece every piece of the puzzle together when you don't have all the pieces yet, right? And within Mercury in retrograde, it like trying to muscle those things together is something that we so consistently do. And it truly is important to know when to stop, right? Stop trying to figure it out. Stop trying to force it to happen. Once you submit and let go, in a sense, and realize that everything is taking its time for a reason, then you can really heal. And there is definitely an opportunity for you to let go and kind of release some of that emotional baggage. Recognize that that consistency that you're yearning for is going to come through. But you gotta stop trying to muscle through it, and you can't force. It's like, you know, square peg into a round hole, right? That saying, you can't force that through. You just have to let go and realize that things are going to line up. It may take some time, but things will line up. It's clear. Let me see. Okay, Shell is asking for a reading. I'm so sorry you're stressed, hon. I know, you probably heard my kiddo, Shell, saying hi. I just want to give a shout out to my incredible husband for being such a wonderful support system while I get to connect with you all. He's such a good dad, and they're off having a good time. And yes, my wonderful boys. All right. So, Shell, let me connect and see what... I know you've been waiting for a while for this transition. So let me see what you need to hear. Okay. So we have the owl, which when the owl is upright, the owl is talking about enlightenment, wisdom. And there's true empowerment that comes with the owl's message. It also, speaking of empowerment, we have the dragon. Okay, Shell, I see you stepping into a really, I see this transition that you've been waiting for. You're going to be stepping into some really, a really significant change. It seems like some of this wisdom that's coming in for you, this enlightenment that you've been yearning for, the information you're waiting on, it's going to show up, it feels like, within the next 2 to 4 weeks, this changes that's coming for you and that you've been waiting for. Yeah, this is all about, I guess, the position that you are going to be in. This isn't necessarily that you will be in a powerful position, but I see you feeling empowered within this position. I see you having a lot of patience and grace, and it seems like there's a lot of freedom that comes with this as well. So I know you're really striving and yearning for that. Let me see if I can, because there is going to be a bit more of a wait. Let me see if I can ask for what is the energy, the intention that you need to hold while you're waiting. Let's see. Okay, we have the earthworm. Clarity and rumination. It's telling you to slow down, to submit again. It doesn't seem like there's not much action that you need to be taking. Okay. And the sun, healing energy, happiness. I love this deck. This deck is also so pretty. So don't just sit in, there's so much balance here. The earthworm is all about grounding. It's all about being able to really marinate in this meditative space and be able to truly find peace in that, you know, the the grounding that exists where earthworms thrive, right? But then you also have the energy of the sun coming in, and that balance is incredible. So it's like, allow yourself to fall into that quiet meditative space and truly just sit in this energy, but then go out and explore and try something new and be around people and be in the sun. You don't need to sit quietly and not move at all while you're waiting for this transition to happen. There's balance that's needed here. So in those moments where you feel like you can try something new, go on a walk, go be outside, go for it. Don't hesitate. The second that energy feels like you can jump in, go for it. And then the other times where, but don't feel like you need to be doing that all the time. It's okay to then sit quietly and find peace within your home and allow yourself to also simply wait and meditate and see what comes forward for you. So I hope that resonates, Shell. Thanks for being here, hon. And Jean is asking for a card. Yes. Jean, you know, I'm going to throw your first card from this deck. Jean, let's see what you need to hear today. We have Moss Agate. Moss Agate talks about change, positivity. There's so much beautiful history behind this stone. Moss Agate is actually the stone that would be hung from the antlers of, or the horns of the oxen before plowing the fields in order to bring in prosperity and bring in abundance for the season ahead. So the moss agate is a really wonderful invitation for you to kind of intentionally start bringing in this change and welcome abundance when it shows up. It's a card of submission in a sense, where you're not fighting that change when it comes. And Jean, I feel like we've been anticipating this big transition for you when we've asked for a card in the past for a minute now, and it seems like that is coming up quickly. Let me throw some clarification around what this change could be about for you. Feels connected to your community. The Horus is all about asking for help and being able to be vulnerable with the people around you. So it seems like there is that shift happening within your community. And it could be connected to the men in your life. It could be connected to a partner, or to maybe it feels like it could be tied to your son. And so the move into this transition intentionally and without... And it's kind of, the invitation is more also just to keep your eyes open and see what's showing up for you, rather than trying to muscle things together again with that first general reading we had. There is definitely an opportunity for you to ask for help and connect with the people around you and just see what shows up for you. Because I see incredible things just coming within this transition, that it feels like you'll be able to share some of the burdens that you've been shouldering and get a bit of relief there as well. So I hope that resonates with you, Jean. And thank you, my dear, for being here. Let me see who else is asking for a card. And it looks like I may have gotten you all. All right. Make sure I got everybody. Okay. You know what? I want to do just one more general reading for everybody, just about this retrograde, because it seems like this has been something that I've been talking to a lot of you about, and it feels just really heavy in being pulled towards the past, which is so much of Mercury's retrograde is about. Reflection and being pulled towards the past. So let me just throw a card on the best way for you all to move through this the next couple of weeks as we continue through this retrograde. Let me see. All right, we have Carnelian, which is actually about leadership. This really powerful stone that is about leadership and creativity. It's leadership that isn't traditional leadership in that sense. So when it it seems like within your world, whatever you're being pulled towards, there's wisdom and information that sits in this reflection, that sits in this retrograde pull to look at the past. There's information here that you need to pull forward. You need to take action in this of not, again, don't try to muscle your way through this and fit things where they don't. But there's something that's sitting there in your past that you can learn from and bring forward. And it seems like it'll take a different shape in your present and in your future. But it does really feel like you'll have that opportunity to kind of allow the positive parts of your past that have maybe been on your mind to reflect again in your future and help you with some things that you've been struggling with. And let me see what other area this is. Yeah, we got cauldron. There's creativity here. Cauldron's all about creation. It's all about really taking your time in this creation. It's a card that's about pacing yourself, going slow. Think about, you know, slowly stirring the pot. If you go way too fast, everything inside is gonna spill out, right? You want to really slowly and intentionally create this invitation to pull this aspect of your past into your future. So yeah, this is both an invitation to slow down and look at what you're doing really intentionally and make sure that you are you're not forcing things into fit where they don't. So pace yourself and also have some, it seems like this is a really, there's so much fun and light and light creativity that we have access to within this energy. And it's so easy for it to feel heavy. But see if there's ways that you can play. See if there's ways that you can bring that light and joy into this process, even though there may be some heavy things that you need to process. And that's always going to, you know, have its own energy, going to have its own heaviness to it. But there seems to be other layers to this, that the things that you want to bring into your future are full of joy and light and are things that you may be missing and reminiscing about. And if you make that heavy, it won't have that joy and light that you want to bring into your future. So just be conscious about the way that you're bringing that intention into your future. And okay, you guys, I think that's it for today's show. I am going to make sure that you all can have access to my little tutorial on the Fool if you would like to look back on this in the future. I will link all of my decks in the description later if you would like to take a look. And if you are interested in a reading, you can find me over at 1-2-listen.com. where I'm an intuitive advisor, and you can, if I'm not online at the time that you are checking out the site, you can always request a call and we can schedule our call that way, or take a look at my email-based services and we can connect that way as well. So thanks so much for being here, everybody. I hope you enjoy the rest of your week. I will see you all next week, which is August. I can't believe how quickly this year is flying by. And I will see you all next time, you guys. Thanks so much for being here. And have a good day.